evening. Welcome to 10 dozen minutes of Trimming the Verge with Jake and Mr. Skullhead. And Mr. Trimming Skullhead, Jake is on the line.
Verge? I'm sorry, I stepped on you. You're Mr. Skullhead because what?
That's okay. I deserve nothing better than to be stepped on.
You like it, don't you, you little worm? Oh, wait. I'm supposed to be a woman in a leather outfit.
You
like,
are,
inside. On the inside, I'm a woman in a leather outfit. So I've been thinking about going to a doctor and saying, hey, could you cut off my penis and graft calf skin onto my skin?
You know, if on the outside you had always been a woman in a leather outfit, I'm sure our relationship would have played out slightly differently.
Slightly differently, yeah. I was thinking earlier about donating some of my extra penis to Cocks of Love. You know, all over the world there are children who don't have enough cock.
And you're just the one to give it to them.
Yeah, well, see, you have to have at least a foot extra, you know, and I figure I got that in spades. Spades is my new nickname for your mom.
I thought you were just an incredibly racist gay man who only had sex with black people.
Yeah. Wait, would you say that it would be racist to only have sex with black people?
No, but to call them spades while you're doing it would probably.
But aren't you supposed to call them that?
Only if they're actually gardening implements.
Actually shovels. Okay. All right. So saying spade was racist. And it wouldn't be that I, you know, necessarily... I could be a racist who just happened to be having sex with a black dude then.
Yeah.
Right? While I was talking about it.
Are racists who have sex with black dudes called spaders, do you think?
I don't know. Do you think that's what... maybe that's why James Spader wasn't so interested in Maggie Gyllenhaal at first.
Maybe it's just people who have sex with David Spade are called spaders.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder if I've ever met anyone who's had sex with David Spade. We're from the same town.
That's true.
I wonder if I ever accidentally got David Spade's sloppy seconds. I would probably know about that. I don't know. Do you think if you were a girl and you had had sex with David Spade at some point that you would tell people?
I think you'd have to be pretty desperate for the name drop. To drop that name.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like,
I don't know.
Hey guys, guess who I saw at the supermarket? Howie fucking Mandel.
What? He's a big star. Didn't he... I remember reading something about something... him not doing something anymore because of some brain problem.
Yep, like, that's what happened.
Good. Good to know.
Howie Mandel's publicist reports that he's going to stop doing something because of some brain problem. When asked to elaborate, he said, fuck off.
So I hear you did some manscaping today.
Yep. I did some landscaping, and I am a man. Yeah, so I bought a used lawnmower, and I mowed my used lawn. It was getting ridiculous. It was only, like, shin-high grass. As far as the eye could see.
Like you imported the special breed of Asian grass known as shin-high grass?
Yep. You know, you've never gotten high until you've gotten high on shin-high grass.
That's what I've heard. The Asians really know how to do it.
they
invented chasing the dragon.
They have
Does
to
that
be
grass
really
grow
angry.
Sideways?
I just said like an angle.
That was Riff made that funny joke when I put the rice paddy hat on Thomas Jefferson, and he said, "I don't think Thomas Jefferson is slanted enough to wear that hat." Yeah. Da 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 da. Riff is funny. Riff never makes racist jokes. I don't understand. And Riff loves the Asians.
Yeah, I mean, his girlfriend's Asian.
You mean his imaginary anime girlfriend?
No, his actual girlfriend. That's why she has the pink hair.
Oh, okay.
She's not like an Asian. She's like a manga Asian. You know how they kind of look
like
white?
Like, she's super kawaii.
Yeah.
I see. Gotcha. So we had a party here at the house on Saturday. Had a few people over, ate some. Hot Stuff tried to make the 1-2 punch, but it didn't work because, as it turns out, Baby Ruths don't float. And you couldn't actually see the Baby Ruths in the yellow punch.
Oh, I see.
Got a lot of new lemonade bottles for making limoncello, or rather, for bottling limoncello.
When does that? When does the lemon season start?
Lemon seasons came and went, sort of. So I feel like it's like March is the best time. I mean, there's still lemons on the tree, and they're still delicious. You can take them off, and it's like eating sunshine. I mean, in a way, it is like eating sunshine, right?
Yeah, sunshine that's been converted to energy to,
Yeah, energy to convert carbon in the air and into solids. Yep. So yeah, there's a bunch of lemon zest soaking in a bunch of booze in the bar where it will stay for a couple months, and then it'll sit around for another couple months in a process that I don't believe actually does anything.
The mellowing process.
Yeah, theoretically it mellows over time, but like, I mean, what I've always been told is that if it is yellow, you should let it mellow. So maybe since limoncello is yellow, Mr. Bellows says we should let it mellow.
That probably explains.
Who was Mr. Bellows? Was it Captain Bellows? Was he like the guy on The Boss from I Dream of Jeannie?
Major Bellows?
Major Bellows.
Something like that.
Yeah. What have you done since the Tuesdays?
Yeah, mowed my lawn and.
You did that today.
Took my wife out for her birthday.
Oh yeah, how old did your wife get?
26. Ancient. I'm gonna have to trade her in for another 17.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Another 17-year-old.
Maybe two. I should just wait until she's 34 and trade her in for two.
Yeah. What's the best thing about 34-year-olds? There's two of them.
Now I'm just confused. What you been up to?
Did you watch any movies or read any books or see any televisions or listen to any songs?
I watched that.
Did you consume any media that we could argue about?
I watched that D'Antwoord video several times.
I don't know what that is.
Did you watch that?
No.
Well, you should.
Who is D'Antwoord?
They're the, South African rap outfit that they got listed on Boing Boing a couple of times. And
I saw that. It did not look like anything that I wanted to be interested in, so I didn't.
As somebody who liked like the Rednecks' Cotton Eye Joe, you would probably enjoy that single.
Oh yeah,
it's very like in the vein of the like Aqua and the Real McCoy and gruff voiced dude and chirpy little woman.
I see.
Only creepy.
Creepy. Is it more like dark industrial stuff?
No, like the song's pretty happy, but the video is. Like, the girl is just kind of creepy looking, and then their DJ is a guy with progeria. The disease that makes you age faster than you should.
Yeah.
So he just kind of, I think the reason why they have him in the video is so he can look all freaky. And make you kind of weirded out and then feel bad for being weirded out.
Does that also make you die earlier?
Oh yeah, because by the time you're 10, you're 80.
I see. So is he like a 10-year-old DJ?
I'm not sure. He's the oldest progeria survivor, but that means, he's like 15.
Are you making this up?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I will tell you. I won't let you swing like that.
ChefBob27 sent in a picture that's kind of funny, which is a Disney camera that has Mickey's hands wrapped around the camera, and the Mickey hands and the lens make it kind of look like a goatse.
Oh, yeah. That's lovely.
I intended to log into the Twitter and see if anybody gave us any tweets. Twits, how I sign out. I hate the fact that now I have this other Twitter account that I use to play Echo Bazaar, and I'm always nearly accidentally letting Echo Bazaar do some shit with the ASIM Twitter account, and I'm like, can't do it. Whoa. That's a lot. Bren McSee asks, why aren't raisins fermentable? He says he thinks they'd make Pruno. Sorry, Bolson says. Or Raisino. I don't know. I remember believing for a long time that all alcohol was made out of raisins because of an episode of Little House on the Prairie that I saw when I was a kid, when they found out that his bearded friend was making moonshine. And he got caught because one of the children was like, boy, he sure did have a lot of raisins in a bag. Or something like that.
Huh.
So yeah, I don't know. I then believed that whiskey was made out of raisins. Because I believed that all alcohol was whiskey. I don't know what I believed. Moonshine was made out of raisins. What do they normally make it out of, like corn?
Yeah, whiskey is a corn liquor.
Or moonlight. You can make whiskey out of potatoes. You can make moonshine out of potatoes. You can make vodka out of corn.
That's what confuses me. Like, so you can make vodka out of grain, and it's somehow still vodka and not just grain alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought that vodka meant that you made it out of potatoes. Like, I don't know, it's like hearing you can make wine out of bananas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's banana wine.
It's not strawberry wine, served on teen.
Served on teen?
Yep.
Is that like one of those sushi restaurants, only you drink strawberry wine out of the belly button of a teenage girl?
Well, that doesn't exist. It needs to.
It's very strong strawberry wine, or else you're there for a long time. Hardy FM says, speaking of which, I accidentally rented The Men Who Stare at Goetze. Oh, let's see. Jowlin says, saw MC Frontalwell last night. It was awesome. His wireless mic battery ran out right before the end of First World Problems. That's kind of funny, actually. I wonder if he had a backup mic. Did he come to your neck of the woods recently?
He'll be here in a couple weeks.
Oh, right. In fact, Vaginal Blood Fart had sent in a few questions that I'm going to read. I'm going to read the Radio Bugbear questions way the fuck out of order today.
Because
I got
to keep
some up. Things. Vaginal Blood Fart writes, hey guys, couple things. One, Jake, if you enjoyed Steve Martin's autobiography, you should totally read Groucho Marx's, which is called, appropriately enough, Groucho and Me. It's on my Amazon wish list, and I have no idea, like, why I don't just buy it. You know? There's like 3 books on there, and I'm like, why have I bought like 10 books since the couple years or 3 years ago that I put these on my wish list? Why, what am I doing with those?
You're just waiting for your cam whoring to pay off and somebody actually to buy them for you?
Yeah, but I don't make my wish list public, because I feel like that's creepy. Did you guys have a wedding registry when you got married?
Yeah.
I don't remember if we had this argument or not.
I was getting enough static from my parents for not sending out invites to the entire extended family who I knew wouldn't be able to come. They said, yeah, but if you don't do that, they won't send you presents. I said, I don't want them to send me presents. Like, we'll send out announcements that we got married after it's done. We were getting enough flack for doing things in our own weird way that I just did the registry thing. Yeah, threw them a bone.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. I don't know. Like, I guess what bothers me is that when there is, like, a societal norm or whatever that I think is kind of sleazy, and so I just don't want to participate in it, and then other people get all butthurt that I'm, like, not letting them, you know, participate in the other side of it.
Right. Well, you got to figure, people are going to buy you stuff when you get married. So either you have them waste their time and money on something that you don't want or need, or you bow to tradition.
I mean, I guess it's obnoxious that if you say don't give gifts, that people will do it anyway. Like, what the fuck is that all about? Like, why would you do that? Why, like, what is it in a person that makes them do something like that?
the desire to bring you joy, despite yourself.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, the bartenders in England said don't tip us, and I did anyway. I'm like, you know, what right do I have to make them feel uncomfortable?
Right.
That's why they hated me, because I gave them too many gold coins. I was just so excited about the gold coins. VBF also said, send me an email with a link to the Charlie Chaplin tramp stamp. I fear I must have it. Yeah, you were right. Why does that dude get tattoos as a joke? That's weird. Isn't he worried about what's going to happen when he gets to heaven?
He has poor impulse control. He's never going to get to Jewish heaven that way.
Yeah, I was going to say. And does he have any, like, is he cutting the cheese at any point with the tattoos that go all the way around him, thus not allowing his chi to flow?
I don't think so. No, I totally want to get a band around my entire stomach.
Yeah.
And back. I think I'm going to wait until I drop a little bit of weight, though, because I ain't got that kind of time.
You'd have to pick a band with a whole lot of members.
Who?
or really tall ones, like, laying on their sides.
Like, I want you to put the entire Polyphonic Spree around my waist.
Yeah.
Are you, like, the Glenn Miller band?
Pretend you're a giant redwood that they're trying to protect from loggers.
Yeah, they could be, like, holding hands. I mean, like, the Glenn Miller band, surely.
Okay, sure.
The Steve Miller band, probably not.
Yeah. You know what, you could just write down the names of all of Steve Miller's hits, and there are so many that they would go all the way around the moon and back.
You could do the Frank Miller band, and it would just be, like, tits and blood and the word fuck.
The Frank Miller band?
Yeah.
Tits, blood, and the word fuck. That's the name of their first album.
Right.
I could do without the blood, I think.
You know, even if it's delicious tits blood?
I'm a fucker, not a fighter. delicious tits blood, huh? Like a tit vampire? Isn't every baby technically a tit vampire?
I think if you're sucking blood out of the tits, you're doing it wrong.
Well, how do you know if you're a kid?
I like life-sustaining fluid coming from the human body, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Babies are vampires.
Yeah. Parasites.
The parasite, the man creates, the parasite asks, where is my share? Been playing...
Number three, said Blaginal Vudfart. please pimp the St. Paul MC Frontal show on May 14th, which, besides the obvious reasons for awesomeness, will now include my show as the opening act. Finally, please tell Scully to return the rolls with a full tank of gas next time. What's VBF doing as an opening act for Frontalot?
Fuck yeah, this is gonna be awesome. So, they do an act called Vilification Tennis, where, like, two teams of two stand on opposite sides of the stage and hurl insults at each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty much, like, it started at the Renaissance Festival, but it was never the, like, oh, the poxy varlet, you know, more along the lines of your mother's so ugly that she cries in the mirror every night knowing that no one will love her. That kind of thing. So, they started doing that. It was so popular at the Renfest, they started doing it at a local theater once a month. And it's just a fucking hilarious show. Every time. Different every time. Fun every time. So it's like, I would go see Brandon Patton by himself, I would go see MC Frontalot by himself, and I would go see Vilification Tennis by itself, so this is going to be an awesome show. If you live in Minneapolis or St. Paul and you don't go to the show, you are fucking retarded.
Wow, that's really weird that you live in a city that is like 99.99% retarded people.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is the Midwest.
It's not the Midwest.
It's kind of the Midwest. It's the Mid-North.
It's the Mid-North. It's the Frozen North.
Okay. I've been thinking about coming to visit you. Can I come visit you?
Yeah. Just the other day, actually, the wife was telling me that I should bug you about coming to visit again. And I said,
well,
no.
You sound so fucking enthusiastic about it now when I bring it up.
Well, I said, no, I've made my case. I've said, you know, I really want you to come visit. I want to show you this city. It would be totally awesome. We got room for you. And I, you know, it grieves me and slightly offends me that you haven't come to visit me thus far. I've said all that to Zach, and he hasn't responded, so I'm just going to wait, you know.
I've responded by feeling guilty all the time. It is just that I don't know, man. It's like a... I have a hard time going to places that I don't care about. Mm. You know? Like, to see people that I do care about. I care about you. I mean, I guess any place that you are is a place that I care about, Mr. Skullhead. I gotta look at it that way.
Yeah. Like, home is where the shard is.
I keep feeling like I should put it on a road trip, but then I'm like, I don't really want to go on another really long road trip.
It's a long motherfucking drive, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I also don't want to get on a fucking airplane. I'm going to goddamn Germany. What the fuck happened with that? Why did I suddenly decide that it was a good idea to take like a fucking 13 or 14 hour of flight in day? Day.
You should... I don't know. You're flying straight from Phoenix to Germany?
No, there aren't any flights straight from Phoenix to Germany. I think I'm stopping in Detroit for a few minutes. Do you want me to bring you any poverty?
Could you bring me the tears of a child as they fall to the blasted pavement?
Yes.
I think they sell them in little vials in the airport now.
Yeah, they probably do, yeah. That's their chief export.
Tears make the best lube. Actually, as Vaginal Blood Fart would point out, the best lube is blood. Because as it coagulates, it makes you slow down a little, you know, for her.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of quality comedy you're going to hear, folks, at the Front Lawn Show.
Yeah, that's sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good. How do you find dudes like me and him? What is it about you that draws people who are constantly going to say things that you find distasteful?
I think that life was trying to teach me a lesson. Like, hanging out with you in high school taught me not to be that kind of uptight, super Christian guy, you know, taught me that there are other people in the world that believe different things and are still groovy. And I think I needed to learn not to be so appalled by people saying stuff. So that, yeah. An angel sent Vaginal Blood Fart to me.
Cool. Did your mom, was she responsible for that?
I don't know. I was praying that Josh would find a friend, preferably a crude friend, who would make him laugh at rape jokes.
Laughing at rape jokes. So.
From now on, I'm just going to pretend they're grape jokes.
Paul BD wrote, I just got done listening to the latest Overthinking It podcast. Which of their opinions do you think best apply to the movie Kick-Ass? I have not listened to the latest Overthinking It podcast, and I have not seen... And the reason that I haven't is because I haven't seen Kick-Ass, and I kind of wanted to see Kick-Ass before I do it. This is a fucking busy-ass week, though. We got... guess what? Another labor-intensive item of the month. And also designing a scavenger hunt for a friend of mine's work team-building exercise.
Wow.
It's fun, though. The scavenger hunt thing is cool. I like having an opportunity to, like, sort of devote creative energy to something that isn't KOL. Hmm. Or, like, isn't a video game, actually, to a certain extent. Like, because... And having agreed to it, I'm now forced to do it. You know? And so, it's like, if I was like, sure, I'll do the soundtrack to your movie that comes out in a week, you know, that'd be a similar kind of thing. Except then I would realize, wait a minute, I am the rankest of amateurs as a musician. But yeah, so I want to see Kick-Ass. Have you seen Kick-Ass, Mr. Kick-Ass?
I have not.
Mr. Kick-Ass.
How about you kick some ass, Mr. Kick-Ass?
What is it? What is the next Mr. Rubber Burner from Wet Hot American Summer? Oh man. That is a good fucking movie.
All right. Now, the next movie that I see in the theater is going to be Nightmare on Elm Street on Friday.
Oh. Cool. Is it like a midnight release?
I'm just going to go see it on Friday night.
Are you going to take your crucifix?
No, but I am going to stay up late.
Maybe I'll have a movie weekend this weekend, after all the work it has done. The next weekend is the Maximum Fun Convention, which I'm just convinced is just going to be ridiculous.
The what?
Max Fun Con. There's this guy. Well, the whole Penny Arcade fiasco. Oh, speaking of which, somebody had said radio bugbear. Ifizo says, "Okay, we get it. You hate the Penny Arcade, guys. But as a regular listener, hearing you guys rant about it is even less entertaining than Jake and Scully debating Zoe Saldana's neck. Please, please stop." It isn't that I just wanted to talk about how much I hate the Penny Arcade guys, because I don't hate them. I want to understand what it is about their behavior as sort of public figures that makes me feel the way that I do about them. Right? Like, I don't think that it... I think it is different than just ranting about something that you hate to honestly sort of analyze something that you dislike.
Yeah, I feel like you're trying to get to the bottom of your knee-jerk reaction there.
Yeah.
It's like your gut reaction, not knee-jerk.
I'm sorry if he says that it wasn't entertaining for you to listen to, but I whatever.
Fuck you. You think we're here to entertain you?
Anyway, Max Funcon is like the guys who do the podcast that they were all butthurt about and wrote all the nasty things about. And some other stuff's an NPR show, and I don't know. It's just that I have no idea what it's going to consist of. It's just like a weird weekend thing. There's some, there's like a workshop being put on by the Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys, so we're going to that. Like, it's a riffing workshop. So I don't, what the fuck. It's just like a couple hours, it's like 4 hours away, so I was just like, yeah, you know what, we'll just drive over to that thing. It's weird, I don't know what to expect. I'll come back with a report.
I would go just seeing that it has, like, Maria Bamford is really funny.
Is she?
Yeah. Jonathan Coulton is awesome.
Yeah, Jonathan Coulton is cool. You know, John Hodgman is giving the bet. So it's also, feel like it's maybe an opportunity to, like, meet John Hodgman and Jonathan Coulton.
Yeah, it just, spend the weekend meeting people named Jonathan.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Jonathan Rhys-Davies will be there. Or Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a real guy.
What about Jonathan?
And I think if I met the guy that wrote that book, I would probably just punch him. Be like, this is what you taught me. I have a much more enlightened view of the world. I'm like, you know what? The world is okay. The world will accept me if I just punch dudes that I hate.
Did you actually read Jonathan Livingston Seagull?
Yeah, I read Jonathan Livingston Seagull, and then I read one or two other books by that guy, and I don't remember... I don't know why. I don't know what the fuck would have possessed me to read a second one after I read it first. So maybe it was like somebody was like, oh man, you really got to read Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And afterwards I was like, fuck you. Seriously, fuck you for making me read that book. And they're like, oh, you didn't like it? Well, maybe you'd like his other one. It's totally different. After that, I was like, God damn it. I don't
know. I feel like somebody we know was super into that book. Maybe in high school, even.
I think it was just after high school. Somebody was like, oh man, you should read The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. It totally changed my life. And I'm like, every time I would read one of these books, I'm like, okay, I can see how if it just never occurred to anyone to think about anything, I could see how they could read this book and be like, oh wow, maybe I should think about a thing from now and from time to time, you know? Like, But for me, I like to think that I live a fairly examined life. You know, I'm certainly a dude who spends a lot of time up in his head, like worrying about stuff. And so by worrying about stuff, you're by definition considering stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, okay, you know, it's like I don't know. You know, I feel like most of those things, the message could be condensed down to like a couple of anecdotes about like a dude, and you're like, oh yeah, that dude seems pretty chill. You know, like, all right, cool.
There is definitely a market for that, just kind of completely obvious and fairly generic life lessons, I guess.
Right. Oh, I know what the other one was. It was the one about the gorilla.
Huh.
There's a gorilla, and then it was like, I don't know, like, it was sort of like, it was at least a reflection... that, like, it was an examination of, like, well, what is man's place in nature, right? And it was like, you know, and the conclusion is, you know, it's just another evolutionary experiment. Like, you know, dinosaurs for a while, that didn't work. Now this is what Mother Nature's trying. Like, okay. I mean, I guess if you know, you're trying to, in a non-religious context, come up with the meaning of life, but in order to do it, you have personified nature as an active agent, like basically creating another little instant religion to consider things in the context of. So, like, whatever, dick. Yeah. I think that guy's name is Richard.
Yeah. Richard Bach.
Yeah.
Dick Bach.
Richard Bach, man. I'd rather read a Richard Bach man book than a Richard Bach book. Mm. Legom7 says, is KLR ready for the eventual switch from IPv4 to IPv6? Man, fuck if I know. This has been this looming, super crazy, urgent disaster for the last 15 years, you know? And, like, every once in a while I'll see a post on Slashdot, like, no, seriously, guys, we're running out of IPv4 space. I'm like, okay, man, like, as soon as any of the people that actually, like, run the internet are concerned about it, they will probably make people start changing shit, you know? Like, I don't know if my data center has an IPv6, transition plan in place. Like, and I'm confident that they're not going to go out of business, right? So they're going to do whatever it takes in order to continue to operate and continue to be able to take my money. So, man, I don't fucking know. I'm assuming that most modern network cards at least support it on a hardware level. Well, you know what? I'm not even positive that means anything. Because I guess on the hardware level, all it has is a MAC address. So I'm assuming that the OSs that we use that have, you know, that are actively being patched will be able to operate under IPv6 when the data center decides that they're going to give us some IPv6 space instead of the IPv4 space that we've got now. I mean, you know what? I got plenty of IPs, so I don't give a fuck, man. Rest of the world, they can scramble for crumbs, man. Maybe I'll rent one of my unused IPv4 addresses to somebody. They can be the salacious crumb to my Jabba the Hutt.
Hmm. If ever there were a more ridiculous name in the Star Wars universe,
than Salacious Crumb?
Yeah.
I'm
not saying it's bad. It's just those are two things that are words.
Yeah.
Yeah, salacious means what? Tasty, or they're salty?
I don't know. I don't know what salacious means. I bet the dictionary knows. It means arousing or appealing to sexual desire.
Ah.
Yeah.
And crumb.
That dude's pretty arousing.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe a couple of drinks in.
Yeah. I mean, he, you know, he eats a lot of... You saw him eat that tiny little tentacle, right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know... I was trying to make a joke about you having a tiny penis. Didn't make any sense. So how do you feel about Kick-Ass? Do you want to see it?
Yeah, I kind of do. The reviews have been so wildly divergent that I don't know what to think about it. Like, Roger Ebert didn't like it.
That's usually a good sign, right? Like, that at least there is something going on.
I tend to read Roger Ebert and the AV Club for movie reviews and then kind of synthesize them.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, AV Club loved it and Roger Ebert hated it.
Huh.
But again, what I like about Ebert is it... Yeah, he thought it was a video game and therefore not art. But what I like about Ebert is, even when he doesn't like something, he describes it well enough that you can tell if it's something that you'll like.
Right. Yeah.
So
what do you think art is, Mr. Skullhead?
Art?
Like, if you had to define art, because, I mean, that is really what this whole argument is about.
Right.
And I ended up in this whole sort of debate with Hot Stuff the other night about whether there was any point to having the argument.
Sure.
And I don't know that... I don't know that the definition of art is a meaningful concept. Well, right? It's one of those, like...
You know, Surely the
I don't
way
know
that Ebert defined that.
I know it when I see it. Like,
yeah. Like, the way that Ebert defined his terms, there is no way for games to be art. Because his...
Well, because art is something that he personally likes.
Yeah, well, he described it as, like, a game has to be something that has, like, scoring and a set series of goals and an interaction with the audience, or with the viewer, and that can never be art, because art is supposed to be something that kind of sweeps you in and takes you along and is in control the entire time. But when confronted with things that fit his definition of art that were games, he maintained that they weren't games, because they didn't fit his definition of games. So, like, he's defined his terms so that he's always right if you accept his bullshit definition of terms. So, yeah. I would just say that...
So maybe it's, like, definition of game that's problematic and not his definition of art.
I would say that artists...
I mean, I say that it's a pointless debate, but then I keep bringing it back. I keep bringing it up.
Yeah.
It's because I hate our listeners.
I just feel like art is an attempt to communicate an emotion or like, state of being, I guess, from one human being or set of human beings to another.
Well, I mean, so is saying fuck you to somebody art? I mean, that, like... You know?
I mean, there's something about conveying an emotional state, I guess, that is in there somewhere.
Right, but I mean, you know, all right, here's a poem that I just wrote. Fuck you. You know? Like, I'm trying to convey the emotional state of, you know, I feel like, you know, fuck that guy. That's my emotional state right now, is fuck that guy. So, I mean, that's the problem. Like, I sort of agree with you on that definition, but I think it is... I don't think that it is possible to come up with a definition of art that is not too broad,
yeah.
Right? And I guess you either have to be okay with there being exceptions, like edge cases that, you know, you would just never bother to describe as art, or maybe saying fuck you to somebody is art. I mean, if poetry is art, if oratory is art...
If you stood in a museum and said fuck you to people walking by you...
Avant-garde.
Yeah, like, there's an art installation at a museum in New York right now that's just two naked people standing in a doorway. So both facing in towards the space in between them, you know? And the idea is that it's a place that you have to walk through to get to the next exhibit. So, you know, you have to try not to touch the naked people. And that's considered art by some.
Yeah. I think I agree. I mean, you know.
Does it have to? Does
oh
it
man!
Have to make
did you see
you
that thing?
Think
I forget.
Too. Do you think?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Like something that not only is an attempt to communicate an emotional state, but is also intended to spark some kind of self-examination or some kind of thought process. Yeah. It stays
I don't know. I mean,
vague.
I would not go so far as to say that telling someone "fuck you" is not art. I mean, it is certainly, like, so there's, like, artifice, right, which is the deliberate creation of something. That's at least how I interpret that, right? Like,
right.
And, you know, a sentence is an artifact. Like, I would say that the Gettysburg Address, pretty artfully constructed bit of prose,
right?
You know, and so, you know, maybe if the Gettysburg Address is 420 years ago, fuck you. You know, like, at what length does something have to have before I will consider an utterance a work of art, right?
And part of the problem with this whole debate is the underlying assumption that things that are art are worth your time and things that aren't are not. That, like, sure, you may be enjoying that Stephen King book, but it's not art, so you'd really be better off reading a book that's art.
But I don't think Ebert said that. I think he... one thing taken out of context was, like, that it is entertaining and... What did he even say? It doesn't mean it's bad, it just means that it has no intrinsic value, or...
Yeah, but the way he was saying that was pretty much... the reason why I don't play video games is because they're never going to be worth my time. I'm so sure that they're not worth my time that it wouldn't be worth my time to even try it. And so that people feel like he's, by extension, saying they're not worth your time either. And, you know, if somebody is emotionally moved by a particular video game, they're going to find that offensive as a concept.
But I don't think that he said they're not worth the time. I think that he said that they don't... Ah, fuck, what was it? It was just in this article. Yeah, this. No, so nothing better than... All right. Something may be excellent as itself and yet be ultimately worthless. Right? Which is that's an interesting, like, an interesting statement.
I would say that sentence may be excellent in and of itself, but is worth absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, what does it mean for something? What does it mean for something to be worthless? I mean, like, just how can something be both excellent and worthless? Like, you're clearly using those words in weird ways, right? I mean, ultimately worthless in terms of, like, you know, do I believe that the video game Redneck Rampage is a significant contribution to human culture?
Huh.
Right. I mean, that, and I mean, maybe if your definition of art requires something to be something that has a net positive impact on human culture, mm-hmm. right? Then which I could see there being some sort of compelling attributes of that definition, that approach to it, right? Like, but I think there's a lot of art that doesn't necessarily deserve to go in a museum, right? That doesn't mean it shouldn't exist or that it is not art, but I think that if your definition is, all right, when I say art, I mean, like, I think he said at some point, like, high art, you know, like something that actually merits, you know, effort to preserve it as an achievement of human culture.
It is interesting, though, that he's someone who is constantly defending animation as a genre to people who would say, how could you possibly be emotionally invested or moved by a series of drawings? Why would, you know, and he says, well, you know, like, look at Hayao Miyazaki stuff. You can, or Grave of the Fireflies, you can totally be emotionally invested in this. Like, how could I possibly be? It's a fucking cartoon. And that frustrates him. So, you know, I agree that Redneck Rampage, sure, but, you know, like, Loom, or Bioshock, or even Rez. Like, those are, there's a lot of beauty and captivating emotional components to those.
That cracked article talked about Rez. I don't know. I feel like the primary artistic component of Rez is that dildo that comes with it.
Yeah, I think
if you glue Rez, a dildo to anything, it becomes art.
I think, well, absolutely, but I honestly think if someone who had never heard of Rez encountered a TV screen and a controller in a museum with that game on it, with it presented in the context of an art piece, I think it would make it abundantly clear that it is.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I, you know, maybe even more than something like Braid, right?
I still haven't played Braid. I can't really speak to it.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, it was really good, but I don't know that it was, like, some earth-shattering thing. I feel kind of the same way about, like, Passage, you know? And Sleep is Death, I feel like, is probably going to yield, you know, one awesome thing to every 10,000 cock and balls. 10,000 cocks and 20,000 balls.
And 19,999.
Okay, right. Because there's probably at least one Hitler cock and balls in there.
Yeah.
Although, probably for every Hitler, there will also be a Lance Armstrong. Oh, but then there's Tom Green, so we're back to an odd number.
Yeah.
Shit.
If only more than 3 people had ever gotten testicular cancer.
Yep. Sparklin wrote, in old news, why don't the forums have a search now? It makes it so much more, it made it so much more approachable for me as a casual player. That's weird. I would not have thought that the forums didn't have a search.
They don't work. The search doesn't work so well now.
Really? I feel like I use, the only thing that I'm ever doing though, when I search the forums, is looking for all of the posts by a particular person. So I think it works fine for that. I mean, let's see what happens when you do a search for Bandersnatch. And this seems to have, like, come up with a bunch of matches. Yeah, I mean, it's got Bandersnatch in it, and it's highlighted. Like, I don't know why you... It is possible that you can't search without being logged in on the new forum software. Because that's a thing that a lot of forums do, and we may have done it just to avoid the potential for blah, 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 denials of attack. Denials of Big Mac attack.
What about the Quack attack, which is back, Jack?
Oh, man. They were talking on an old episode of Jordan and Jesse Go that I was listening to about the DuckTales game for the NES. And it occurred to me that I really, really liked that game as a kid, and that is a game that I have not gone back and played on an emulator. And
it's a good
I would
game,
like to, and
is,
I'd like to see what I liked about it.
It is stupid hard.
And is it?
It still is. Like, it was stupid hard when I was 10, and it still is.
But I mean, I remember beating it when I was a kid.
It had the control scheme that was unusual, where you could jump into the air and then bounce on your cane. And bouncing on
right.
the cane was how you beat enemies, and
yeah, and how you'd have to navigate like spike traps and stuff. But then you could also like swing the cane like a golf club and hit blocks out of the way. I remember there being a kind of like there was like a level select instead of it being like linear levels. I remember being kind of Mega Man-y. I also remember the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers game being pretty good, but. That might just be because I like games where you're, like, small and interacting with ordinary household objects, only they're huge.
Yeah, I remember how into Katamari Damacy you were.
Yeah. No, you know why I didn't like Katamari Damacy? Like, the entirety of the reason that I didn't like Katamari Damacy is because there was no fucking map, and I cannot navigate in 3D space without some sense of where, I lost... in the second level of Katamari Damacy, like, 5 times, because it starts you out in this room, which is only, like, 5% or, 10% of the level or something, and I never found the door. I did not know that you could leave the room. And so it would just be like, all right, I ran out of time pushing this fucking thing around looking for something that was small enough for me to pick up. That was a lot of fun.
That's kind of weird, because I am terrible at navigating in 3D space as well, but there were enough places to go, it felt like, that I could just randomly kind of fuck around in the level until time ran out and still advance.
Maybe I'll try it again someday, but probably not, you know? I'm probably okay with just not liking Katamari Damacy.
Yeah.
Linguini Lad says, have you ever heard of a device for taking a bong hit off of a vagina? What the fuck? And then looked at a patent. Yeah, apparently it's a bong that involves filling a woman's vagina with the bong water.
Huh.
Which, one of the comments in there was like, yeah, if you can find a woman who doesn't mind having her vagina filled up with bong water, it's probably, like, not someone you want to hang out with.
She's probably already totally baked, man.
Oh, yeah, man. It's probably true. I mean,
I can
sure,
understand, like...
you filled your vagina up with bong water. But have you ever filled your vagina up with bong water on bong water? I have not smelled bong water in probably 10 years, and I don't miss it. I kind of remember what it smells like. I feel like if I smelled it now, I would be like, oh, bong water. But, like, I'm really glad that I can't recall it. I can't summon it up. Simeon says, so have you guys played Minecraft at all? And then linked to Minecraft.net. I looked at it and was like either put off or confused by the front page to the point where I just didn't even try playing it. So yeah, I don't know what that says.
I didn't even do that.
Goldust says, anti-cheese plus six tiny wedges of goat cheese equals six tiny goats? No, it would be six tiny wedges of goat.
Six tiny goats with their underwear crammed up their asses?
Yeah. ACM says, about Anne Rice. One, skip interview and read the vampire Lestat. You'll be missing a couple of plot points, but it's so much more gripping and even thought-provoking. Two, even better, read the Feast of All Saints, which is in no way supernatural, but is engrossing, evocative, and heartrending. Brings historical New Orleans and all of its delicate racial subcultures vividly to life. Wow, ACM, that sounded like a book jacket.
Yeah. It's kind of weird that the recommendations for Anne Rice books to read and Anne Rice movies to watch are kind of inverse to each other.
Yeah. Was the movie The Vampire Lestat really terrible?
Oh my god, yes.
You know, I watched Interview with the Vampire again a few months ago, and it was not anywhere near as good as it had been in my memory.
Oh, I watched it fairly recently and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And for the sequel, they replaced Tom Cruise with Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, who's not Jonathan Rhys-Davies, which is unfortunate. And, like, Lestat becomes a rock star, and he sings in the voice of the dude from Korn.
But isn't that... Wait, is it really the dude from Korn?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I kind of like that dude's voice.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You're all...
Yeah, that's what I'm all like. Every minute of every day.
No, wait, that's what Jonathan Davis from Korn sounds like. And not in the...
Jonathan Davis, Jonathan Rhys-Davies. So Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, right. Who's not Jonathan Rhys-Davies, was voiced by Jonathan Davis?
Yes. And the weird thing is, when he wasn't singing, his voice was dubbed in by Reese Witherspoon.
Who is Jonathan Rhys-Davies? I know the name, but I don't know the dude.
Oh, Gimli. And my axe.
What else has he been in?
Sliders. And Indiana Jones. 3?
Oh! Right. He's like the contact in the bazaar.
Yeah, the guy who doesn't know how to count camels.
Really?
I said no camels. That's 8 camels. Can't you count?
That would be a weird... Like, if you couldn't tell the difference between 0 and 8, that would be a weird thing to... It'd be hard to deal with anything.
How could this sitcom possibly be funny? 0 is enough? I mean, there's not even anybody on the show.
Clearly, it's not.
It's just about a couple with no kids. Who are perfectly happy with that state of affairs.
Well, your test results are in. Good luck. Or good news. You've got 8 different varieties of brain cancer.
Awesome.
Yeah. No, I'm saying he was the doctor. The guy who couldn't tell the difference was dying the doctor, so he was freaking everybody out.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Griffin Slade says, is there a chat command to change auto attack options like macros? I'm digging the new system, by the way. Now if I have 30 minutes until rollover, I can at least get down past my use or lose turns. Slash auto attack or slash AA. Which I believe those chat commands are all documented. I believe that everything that C.D. Moyer puts in as a chat command, he updates the documentation with.
Yeah, because everything that C.D. Moyer does, he does it for you. He does it for Yez.
You know, it's true. Everything he do it for you. Mm-hmm. Arkwild says, I tried using Doom cheat codes in chat this morning. They didn't work. What's the cheat code for all the weapons and unlimited ammo if it isn't IDKFA? What does IDKFA stand for? I mean, ID is id. They all start with id, yeah. Right?
Keyboard from away?
Oh, yeah. Keyboard from away. Id, keyboard from away.
Mm-hmm.
Stuart said, virtually unobtainable items and old items of the month are barriers to entry to the speed game. Pantsless puts forward a solution to this better than I could ever hope to in that forum post. Too long didn't read. In-game support for loaning items out. The way that the game stores items, I mean, I know that he tries to get around this by creating new copies of all of these items to be like an untradeable thing that you get and then it's taken away from you. Technically that would work, but it would require us to make new versions of everything that people would ever want to borrow, and so we would just constantly be bombarded with requests for stuff like that. I don't know that I believe that it is a bad idea, but it is an idea that I think would have far more significant repercussions than it's possible to imagine on a glance at it as an idea, you know? I mean, because theoretically, it adds value to items, right? So for people investing in things in the future, you know, maybe they'll buy an extra thing to rent out. But I feel like it is kind of a kick in the dick to people who, you know, gave us money and invested in Mr. Store items in the past, because suddenly there's not going to be a market for these expensive things if you can rent them for, you know, pennies on the dollar, effectively. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. Part of the problem there too is that, like, if we made a new item that was also, you know, a whatever, right? We would have to, like, the V for Vivalent mask, say, right? We would have to put, for every one of those items that you could only equip one of, we would have to put it in some sort of exclusion set with the copy of itself that wouldn't make any sense. There'd have to be some way to tell the difference between the two, which, you know, there could be. That's not a big deal. But then also, every place in the code that references one of those items, the code would actually have to be changed. It's, like, not as simple as just making a copy of the item that is untradeable. It's like, you know, you also have to go through, and it is a non-trivial amount of work for every item, and it is a thing that people would just ask for us to do with everything. And I'm guessing that would end up causing some problems, because we're lazy dudes. We're not lazy dudes. We're dudes that fuck stuff up every once in a while, though. Hey, you know, speaking of fucking stuff up, do you want to play some horrible music?
Sure.
Do you want to play some good music?
I'm going to play this music that's going to change your life.
Oh man, really? Is it gonna change my life? Is it?
To me. all the beggars are done, and they all cut their thumbs and bleed into their buns till they melt away. I'm looking in on the good life I might have. You'll never find without trust the flaming fields am I too dumb to reply. And if you took to me like one, I'd dance like a queen in the eyesore, and the rest of our lives were fed well.
It's alright. back into the sky, daddy-o.
Myself up off the ground to have you knock me back down again and again. When I ask you to explain, you say you gotta be cool to be kind in the right measure. Cool to be kind, it's a very good sign. Cool to be kind means that I love you, baby. You gotta be cool to be kind.
When your mind's If you ever want something and you call, then I'll come running. Ooh-hoo-hoo. I'm a good guy for a gal. So won't you look my palm over? I've got time for a chat. So won't you tell me my future? I'm gonna break down at 50, and I'm not quite a stallion. I'm a good guy for a gal, and I'm mentally slipping. Oh yeah, oh yeah, what's that you see? Oh boy, find out what's up with me. Oh yeah, what's that you see? Tell me more of what's gonna be. If you're friends with me, well then you're friends with me. If you're down with me, well then you're down with me. Friends of me, friends of me, friends of me, friends with a few. Some modest fame and fortune with a few is gonna come to me early with a few. I get two loves in my life with a few, and I'm dying, I did. Oh yeah, oh yeah, what's that?
So I was just reading the forum thread. All right, so the Bet Noir and some dudes sent out Nord 7 and Fresh Curd are some dudes. Sure. Fresh Curd's a lady. Nord 7 is a dude. they were talking about the 2006 KOL community survey that they sent out. And they posted the results, and they're apparently doing another one now, which I think is interesting. I really like that they did that. I like that sort of like community-driven effort happened, and it was some interesting data. Although somebody posted in the forums that they were surprised to find out that 86% of KOL players are heterosexual.
Huh.
Which, why would that surprise anyone, Mr. Skullhead? Why would that surprise anyone?
Is it still an accepted statistic that 10% of the population is homosexual?
I mean, that's basically all I've ever heard.
Huh.
Right. I mean, I've never heard anything to suggest that it was going, you know, that it was going anywhere from that. And I feel like that statistic has been cited recently enough that you wouldn't get like self-reporting errors or whatever. There's also 8% bisexual. I'm not going to get into that.
Yes.
Do you think, Mr. Skullhead, that a girl who, you know, a few times in her 20s, say, dates and has sex with other girls and then stops, is bisexual?
Sure.
Okay. Do you think a girl who makes out with another girl at a party once is bisexual?
I'm comfortable letting people label themselves however they want.
Sure. Okay. But what I don't like, I guess, is people trying to prove things based on the labels that people give themselves. It really freaks me out. It really freaks me out that it is possible for someone to be surprised that 86% of a randomly sampled population is heterosexual. Why is that surprising? It makes me think, like, somebody who's surprised by that statistic, I feel like, is not someone that I can reason with. Like, it is not somebody that I could have a conversation with about anything. It's like, what do you mean only 10% of American citizens are black? Only 10% of American citizens are black? Like...
Was that person, were they unpleasantly surprised or pleasantly surprised?
I don't know. You know, I wouldn't say. What did she say in the... Wow, I'm a little shocked by how much of the community is heterosexual. Guess I'm just new-fashioned.
Oh, so she was expecting more. So she's feeling like we're some kind of... we're not gay enough for her. Which, clearly, right. She's never met you.
Oh! Yeah. Man, you know, I don't want to get into this conversation because nobody likes what I have to say about anything ever. But like I'm a little surprised that it is possible that someone could be surprised that most people are heterosexual.
Right.
Right. Like,
well, it's along the same lines as people thinking that I'm being horribly discriminatory by talking about male and female. Or men and women. Because there are, you know, billions of people out there who are both or neither.
And, like, just, you know, no, they're fucking aren't. Right? Like, is basically the argument to that, you know? Yeah. Like, no, there aren't. There's, like, a handful. Like, literally a handful. Everyone who does not identify as male or female readily could fit in my hand. Also, I am God. and I'm an all-state representative.
Don't you have to have two good hands? Man, my laugh is getting really phlegmy because I'm kind of losing my voice. Oh, we're going to go into car talk again.
Where? don't cite statistics about sexual orientation like my brother.
Whoa, you just got real quiet.
I did?
Yes.
Sorry.
Stop doing it.
Maybe it was because I was sad. Man, most people are straight. Most people are straight.
That's not a judgment call on people who are gay.
Right.
It's true. Like, I understand that if you're like a young, hip, you know, urban person, you're seeking out multicultural, multi-pansexual friendships and, you know, eightsomes or whatever, then you may have 8 or 9 gay people in your circle of 12 friends, but, you know, this is not a club that we're admitting or denying people to. Anybody can join who wants to, so we're going to be a little more indicative of society at large. I would love to have more gay people playing the game. I would love to have more gay friends. I would have somebody to fuck.
Yeah, because nothing you like more than fucking gay dudes.
No,
I didn't say dudes. I mean, I would not mind being surrounded by open-minded, attractive, bisexual women.
Yeah.
Like, literally surrounded. Like, an unbreakable perimeter of them.
You should get a band of them tattooed around your waist.
I should. Then I would always be surrounded by them. Do you think you could just do, like, an endless, like, if you... Well, I'm sure you could. Okay, no, it's just, it would be impossible. I'm not even going to say what I was about to say, because there's no way you could get a tattoo that depicted a particular thing. Okay, hey, here's a controversial topic, potentially.
Ooh.
So, did you see on Boing Boing today, there was a picture of a pickup truck, and the tailgate had, like, a full tailgate-sized screen on it. Not like a screen, but like a screened image that was the World Trade Center towers in flames, and the caption, "All I need to know about Islam I learned on September 11th."
Yeah.
So, and then his license plate was 14CV88, and because it was revealed that was a coded white supremacist message, they took the license plate away from him. And I personally think that's kind of bullshit.
Huh.
Because, like, okay, so the number 14 is, it's the number of words in some sort of famous white supremacist sentence, and 8-8 is what, two H's in the alphabet, so it is Heil Hitler. Like,
And CV so is veteran. But that's not people ascribing those definitions after the fact. Like, those are known ways for white supremacists to identify themselves to each other.
Okay, but if we ban the number 14, then the white supremacists have won. Because that is complete bullshit. What they're going to keep doing is they're going to keep coming up with ways to say things to identify themselves to one another. You know, I mean, like, this is equivalent to them, you know, like, making it so they have to, like, draw an arc in the dirt, and then so if the other person is also a white supremacist, they'll draw another arc in the dirt and make it into a fish. You know? Like, I'm not saying that white supremacists don't deserve a kick in the nuts, but I will say that part of the deal with free speech is that you have to fucking see things that you don't agree with, right?
Right.
Like, I don't know where I stand on hate speech being against the law. Like, it is definitely objectionable to me. I don't think that it is good, but I'm not sure that I can stand behind believing that it should be illegal.
Only if it involves an incitation to violence, sure.
Right, but I'm not positive that I believe. You know, it's like also that, like, all right, free speech, yelling fire in a crowded theater, right? Like,
yelling.
I'm not sure that I think that should be against the law, but I also don't think that it should be against the law to just beat the shit out of someone who does it.
Right.
Right. That's kind of my take.
Like, say, telling somebody to beat the shit out of all the niggers in a crowded theater, like, sure, that's not as bad as the guy who actually does it, but it's not a great idea. But this is something different, because this is the agency that issues the license plates has rules that govern offensive, you know, stuff that you can have on a license plate, and you can't have racist messages on a license plate. That's not a free speech issue. That is, if you want to drive legally in this state, you have to abide by these certain rules. If you don't want to, then you don't have to.
It doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, the thing is, you could spray paint the same thing on your car, and there's nothing that they can do about that.
Right, because the issue is not...
It doesn't make any sense. It is a misappropriation of my tax dollars for the government to be fucking thinking about shit like that.
It makes perfect sense, because it's not... It's not about the utterance, it's about the utterance on a state-issued thing. The state can set standards for what they won't let you have. Like, I think it would be awesome to have WTF-FTW on my license plate, but I can't have it. Because it's a...
Right, and it's bullshit that you can't have it, is my argument.
So move to a state where they'll let you have it. Or don't drive. Or don't license your car. Like, there are options here. Nobody's nobody's trying to shut this dude up. This is fucking not a free speech issue at all.
But this is the government. This is not a private entity. Like,
it is not the government saying he can't say that. It's we're not putting this on our license plate. Which is the property
But they already did. They already did put it on the license plate because it is might as well, for everyone who sees it, be a random fucking sequence of numbers and letters.
But
right?
It's not.
It is them, if I lived in that state, spending my money going after this dude for this thing that no one actually knows is even against the rules.
But they,
right? which is my take.
People do know, and they found out, and that's why it's on Boing Boing. These are
people found out that they took it away from them. I honestly, like, I do not fucking get the people at Boing Boing, right? I do not get it. It's like, oh, goddamn Apple with their fucking draconian policies. Oh man, fucking nanny state bullshit. Oh yeah, no, fuck this guy for having some numbers on his license plate that, you know, the fucking crazy guy at Denny's figured out that they mean something about how Hitler's awesome. You know, like,
those codes are way more prevalent than
totally
you think
take that
they
away
are.
From him. Like,
those codes are way more recognized than you think they are. Just because to you you didn't recognize them, that doesn't mean that they're not widely recognized.
Okay, I just disagree with you.
Like Roger Ebert, you know, might see WTF FTW and not know what it means. But that doesn't mean that that's not a common set of letters that people would immediately know what it means.
Okay, so what if the state's computer randomly generated a license plate that was WTF 88? Right? And somebody could be totally offended by that. So should they program the computers that randomly generate license plates to never put a fucking 14 or a fucking 88 in a license plate? Because if you do that, I guarantee that they will come up with a way to make 13 a white supremacist anthem, and then 89 a white supremacist anthem. Like, it is fucking nonsense. It is nonsense, and it is a waste of time and resources to react to it. Like, that reaction is exactly the kind of thing that fucking asshole wants. Right? So don't give it to him. Just ignore it. That's my thing. That's my take on it.
I think that everybody who is not the State Department that issues license plates is free to do that. But they're not. They've set these rules and they have to follow them. If you can put your white supremacist bullshit on your license plate.
I'm not saying the state shouldn't follow rules. I'm saying that the rule doesn't make any sense.
So why not just make it so you can have nigger on a license plate?
I would actually support that.
Oh, well then you're dumb.
No, I'm not. I'm a guy who finds the First Amendment very important.
This is not a First Amendment issue. I thought we had thoroughly established that dude is free to express himself without fear of being imprisoned. He is not permitted to write his racist slogan on a piece of property that belongs to the state. They issue them. They control them. They can say, you know, if they want to say you can't put Mario on your license plate, then you fucking can't. And you shouldn't.
It would be total horseshit.
Sure, but nobody has a right to have whatever they want on their custom license plate. And it doesn't help that the dude's a douche. You know?
No. That's the problem. It exists because the dude is a douche. Right? And that's the thing. Like, I feel like having the actions of douches like that setting policy is a terrible precedent.
They didn't set... The policy was already set. That they're, you know...
That you can't have the number 88 on a license plate.
That you can't have something that is offensive or racist on your license plate.
Okay, the
and
number 14, 88 is
14
not offensive 14
CB
or
and 88 together are offensive. You just didn't know that.
Oh, Jesus, who the
and
fuck are you? I feel like we have been on the like you've been on the exact opposite side of other. How many people have to think something is offensive before it is offensive?
Why don't we let people use Nigger Lover as an account name?
Well, if you ask me, we should. And honestly, according to the policies, we probably do.
No, we don't.
We had that whole debate. Sure, you're right, we don't. So, here we are again. Go ahead and disable your buddy Mick. Right? You can't dictate policy.
It is clear that Mick is not a racial
slur. The reason that I don't let people create accounts with the word fuck in the name is because I don't want to deal with parents' groups complaining about it. It isn't because I think there's anything wrong with that.
Well, maybe the state doesn't want to deal with a bunch of people writing in, did you know that this dude with his totally racist decal
I will eat
has
my
a bunch
fucking
of racist slogans on it?
Two people wrote in about that.
See, that's something that
If two people were offended by the string, the alphanumeric string, 14CV88, if two people are offended by that, to the point where they will write a letter to their congressman, I will eat my fucking hat.
You are making that up, though. You have no idea.
My hat is made of delicious peeps.
Good, because you do not know whereof you speak.
But you don't either.
You assume that because you didn't know about that and you weren't offended by it, that, like, somebody who has been targeted by white supremacist groups wouldn't know about it. Like, a black dude wouldn't know about it.
Okay. If black dudes decide that the number 4 is offensive and should be banned from schools, fuck those black dudes, because that is horse shit.
It is in the context of having 14 CV and 88 together. That's the kind of tattoo a dude would get in prison to show that he's a white supremacist. It's, the words, the letters F, U, C, and K are not offensive to anybody in the wild unless you put them together in a certain order, and then they are. So nobody's talking about the number 14 somehow being inherently offensive, or the number 88, or those two letters. You put all three of them together underneath a racist slogan, and it's obvious what that dude was about.
What difference does it make what it's underneath? I mean, I guess that's the question, right? Like, if we're gonna start enforcing the laws based on context, we need to write laws to be enforced based on context. So, all right, you can have this license plate unless you're an asshole, right? Which that's not how law works. Also, I don't think the CV is important because everything else that I ever saw was like there were in that thread, there were, pictures of, white supremacist tattoos and stuff that were 14s or 88s or 14s and 88s.
It's Confederate veteran. That's part of the string, dude. Just because you haven't heard of this doesn't mean that it's something that people just made up to go after this dude.
Saying is, in the context of the thing itself, it doesn't have to be 14CV88. The numbers 14 and 88 are enough on their own. That is what I am saying is chicken shit.
Wait, is it horse shit or chicken shit?
It's both. Man, it's like chickens ate some horse shit and then shat that out. I'm telling you, man, they came for the 14s, and I didn't have one, so I didn't say anything. All right, so we can't get 14s anymore because now that's no longer like a hidden secret club that we're in, so we're going to find something that uses 15s, right? That's there is this literal, integer step function slippery slope that this is one step down. That's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that you decide that fucking numbers are offensive because somebody who is an asshole takes it up and puts it on their flag.
Yeah, and it's a shame that I can't talk about the taint of evil or that I had a gay old time at the park. Shit gets appropriated. It's a shame that I can't say that, I have a bundle of sticks and I'm going to burn a faggot. It's a shame that words change that way and that things come to mean things that are offensive.
Okay, but fucking numbers! Numbers! Jesus Christ! It doesn't make it so we can't put a man on Mars if the word faggot doesn't mean a bundle of sticks anymore. If nobody is allowed to say 14 that causes some serious fucking problems.
Nobody is talking about not being allowed to say it. We're talking about not being allowed to have a license plate, a custom plate, that is an elective thing for you to have, for the
okay,
is elective for the state to
those
offer you.
Are
that
equally
is,
arbitrary bullshit, is the point that I'm making. Look,
this is not going to change the world, though. This is just a single entity exercising editorial control over something that they issue. You know what?
The thing that bothers me about it is seeing so many people being like, fuck yeah. You know, like,
that dude shouldn't be allowed to have that license plate.
Boing is pissing me off lately. They also have this, like, super, like, anti-Arizona vibe going on now because we suddenly decided... Because
you passed an entirely retarded law.
Yeah, okay, man. Whatever.
You need to... Anytime you say... If you see somebody who looks like they might be an illegal immigrant, you should stop them and ask to see their papers. Jesus fucking Christ. You have just made a huge step into Nazi Germany. Or Soviet Russia.
You just invoked Godwin, right? Like
Arizona Godwin themselves. That law is straight the fuck out of 88's playbook.
It is enforcing laws that already exist. Is my... Like, when I read about this...
Randomly
first,
stopping before, people without cause and asking to see their papers is fucking scary.
I'm
no matter
sure that
what state you're
I'm
in.
I'm pretty sure that that's not even what it says.
That is the entire nature of the law, is...
God,
if
you
there
know,
are reasonable...
From a public that was fucking outraged, from people who were outraged that Arizona passed a statute that said that you had to have identification in order to vote...
No, that annoyed me.
Okay. So, should you have to have identification in order to drive a car?
I don't think that you should be... That police should be able to stop and hassle you with no other cause than that you look Mexican.
I don't think that they can.
That is what is going to happen. The law says reasonable circumstances or reasonable suspicion. What the fuck does that mean from across a room? Or going down a highway?
Josh, you lived here for a long time. Could you not look at a crowd of people in a Home Depot parking lot and identify which ones were probably illegal immigrants? I mean, I think you could, but is it racial profiling? Like, if your stated policy goal is to combat illegal immigration, right? Like, do you want to not be able to go up to the people that you know are illegal immigrants and check to see if they're illegal immigrants? I mean, you know, it's possible that I'll get hassled, because I look kind of Hispanic.
The law,
right?
But the law is way too fucking broad. That is the entirety of it, is the government shouldn't have a right to stop you and ask to see your papers if you're not doing anything wrong.
Which I don't think
I have
that
a problem with that.
I really don't think
outside of
this
a Home Depot, even, like, being Mexican and being in the parking lot of a Home Depot is not doing anything wrong. Being a Mexican,
okay. I mean,
driving a truck
attempting,
with a lawnmower
attempting
in the back
to
of it.
Work in the United States without paying taxes is doing something wrong, right? Like,
don't you think it's possible that there are people in the parking lot of Home Depot who are not doing that?
I think that if you see a group of Mexican dudes standing at a spot where American contractors go to pick up day laborers, then no. No, I don't think that there is in that group of people a U.S. citizen who's going to pay taxes
and that is
on the cash.
That is entirely
on the cash that the contractor hands it.
That is entirely fucked up, though, because what if I'm Manuel? Give me a minute. What if I'm Manuel, legal citizen of the United States? I go to Home Depot without my wallet, with my four buddies, because we're going to pick up some drywall because we're going to remodel something, and I end up in jail. Because I can't prove I'm a, Bob and his five white friends don't get hassled like that. That's kind of fucked up.
You won't, the thing is, you're not going to end up in jail because of that. That is not going to happen.
They are going to ask to see your papers, and you're not going to be able to provide them, and you're going to be taken into custody.
Okay, but you're not going to be taken into custody. I have a feeling that it will be equivalent to, like, if you're driving and don't have your driver's license on you. They don't just fucking take you to jail for that.
They can now because there is a law in the books for it. Like, you're doing the same thing that you're doing with the 14CV88, is just assuming that because you believe something to be true, that it's true. Like, well, I've never heard of 14 and 88 being racist codes, so that must be some super obscure thing. Like,
listen,
no.
It doesn't, my point about that, man, it doesn't matter if it's obscure. It doesn't matter if it's obscure. The fact that I don't know about it does not.
That was what you were arguing from, but anyway, it does. In that case, it does not matter what any of us think is and isn't appropriate to put on a custom plate, because having a custom plate is not a constitutional right. It is an option that the state chooses to give you, and it comes with a whole
fuck ton of censorship built into it. I would never claim. I would never claim that the state government doesn't have the right to have a license plate. But I will claim that it's bullshit. Right? They have the right to do all kinds of stuff that's bullshit. I just think it's bullshit.
So you're not trying to argue, but you kept talking about his First Amendment right being stepped on, and nobody's stepping on that dude's First Amendment rights.
I'm not talking about it being stepped on. I'm talking about its principles being contradicted.
Nobody has the right to free speech on their license plate.
Okay.
Nobody has the right to free speech in our forums.
Sure.
The people who own the media.
I mean, I would argue that the crucial difference in those two cases is that we're not a government.
The other thing is that dude can still drive his car with his license plate that says something else, or with his random non-custom license plate. So they're not even denying him the privilege of driving a car.
Okay.
They're just controlling
wasting a bunch of taxpayer money. They're wasting a bunch of taxpayer money enforcing something that doesn't make any fucking sense. And I think that that is stupid. I'm not saying that they can't do it. I'm not saying that they apparently don't have the popular support of fucking forum commenters on goddamn Boing Boing. But, you know, I just think it's kind of stupid.
Yeah. Especially in Virginia, that, yeah. I think it is a good to crack down on public displays of racism in fucking Virginia. Are you kidding me? Especially because this is a license plate that is issued by the state, and they are responsible for the content that is on it. It says Virginia and the state motto underneath it. It is an official document issued by the state. Absolutely, they don't want some fucking racist bullshit on there. They don't want me saying, oh my fucking God, on there.
Okay.
I am just saying it is another
step down a road of policy that doesn't make any sense, because people are always going to figure out new ways to make things offensive, and they're constantly going to be behind the eight ball figuring out how to stop people from sneaking shit by. Do away with fucking custom license plates, right? Problem fucking solved. Super cheap, right? Except you lose the income, I guess, as a state. You can't do vanity plates anymore.
Yeah, gotta be on the opposite side of that one. And then, you know, you got people like Lindsey Graham talking about how the law that Arizona passed was fucked up. And he is a super conservative dude who's all for rounding up illegals and shipping them out. And even he's like, yeah, that is most likely unconstitutional to just stop people on the vaguest of pretenses and demand to see their papers. That is not the country that we're trying to live in. I would rather have illegal people running around, lazy Mexicans taking our jobs, however that works. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're so lazy that they're the only people who will do any of the actual work that gets done in this state.
I would rather have that than have people being able to just kind of randomly stop and hassle for papers.
I mean,
you want to talk about you're problem, worried about a fucking slippery slope? Are you kidding me?
Is that I cannot go, if I go to fucking England with no identification, they can kick me out. And fucking A, they can kick me out. Right? Does that seem, is England a fucking Nazi state? Because those motherfucking Nazi, commie, 88-spewing fascists make me carry a fucking document that shows where, you know, like, what fucking difference does it make what country I was born in?
When you were
they
in
Britain... They make me carry Britain, a fucking document.
When you were in Britain just walking down the street, were you ever stopped and it, have it demanded of you that you produce those papers?
No, and honest to God, I
goddamn right.
What this is about, man.
When I was in Russia, I got
stopped. They're talking
stopped
about doing
no...
it in fucking, like, public schools. They're talking about making sure that when people are in public school that they're actually citizens, right? Which... either change the laws so you don't have to be a citizen to get the fucking benefits of tax money, or enforce them.
This is not the way to enforce them, because they're talking about reasonable suspicion, and they don't define what that is. You want to? I'm amazed that you're talking about slippery slopes, and you're not concerned about
this. All right, so it is a, like, I'm going to go on record as saying that racial profiling is not inherently bad. Profiling, in general, not inherently bad. Right? I get dirty looks when I go, like, if I'm carrying something out of a grocery store without a bag, I will get stopped and asked for a receipt because I look like kind of a slime ball. Right? And, like, you know what? That guy's doing his job. If I was a clean-cut dude wearing a suit, he probably wouldn't do that. And you know what? That system, you can take advantage of it. But overall, pretty effective. Overall, you know, you can kind of tell by looking at somebody whether they're a criminal or not.
That is a really dangerously deceptive ideology.
It is a dangerous ideology if it is misused, but any ideology is dangerous if it is misused.
No, it is a dangerously deceptive ideology because it makes you ignore Tim McVeigh. Because he's not wearing a turban and shouting Allahu Akbar.
Okay.
So, you know, like, I'm all for, like, sure. Don't, TSA agents don't pull 80-year-old grandma out of the line. Or 4-year-old little Billy out of the line. But don't think that your terrorist is gonna be Muslim just because a lot of them have been, you know? That is dangerous. It leads to a dangerous sense of complacency. When you say that you can pretty much tell what a criminal looks like, then you miss all of the people who are criminals who don't look like it.
Okay, but I think that there are a lot fewer people that you miss because they don't look like criminals than there are criminals that get away with things now because you can't, like, just, you know, the notion that, you know what, I bet that guy's got a gun on him. But that's not enough reason to check, right? Like, you know, I mean, sure, you hassle some people, and you hassle some people for no reason, but
I'm
maybe
amazed
you
that you, of all people, is coming out in favor of being hassled for no reason. And that you don't you don't see it as a waste of police officer time and effort to pull over people who look like they might be illegal as they're driving down the street.
I just don't believe that that's going to happen.
These are the issues that they're talking about with this law. Not the, you know, not the Boing Boing Forum commenters, the senators and the cops who are going to be enforcing the law, and the lawyers who are figuring out the constitutionality of the law. Like, that is what is in this motherfucking law, man.
What I feel like it does is it provides some
you feel like it, but you're arguing from a position
no,
of
because
complete
your whole
not
point,
knowing
your
what
whole
the fuck
point
is in
that
the
guidelines are too vague and that people are going to abuse them, whereas I am all in favor of vague rules because even though they're open to abuse, they're also open to more effective use. And, like, the reason that we have a system is to deal with things on a case-by-case basis when the generalities fail. You know, I mean, I don't think it's a big deal.
But you don't,
I don't see why.
You
don't
know
see
what
why
is in that
you need
law.
Probable cause to pull somebody over. That kind of doesn't make any sense to me. Right? I mean, the time that I got pulled over and hassled because of that fucking police computer lookup error in Texas, I was pissed off. But you know what? Fucking whatever. Whatever. Man, I didn't get in trouble because I'm not actually a criminal. Something happened that made me look like one, and you know what? That cop was just fucking doing his job. Maybe he was an asshole, maybe his job is stupid, but he was just doing his job. And, like, I can be inconvenienced, but I don't demand system-wide changes because of my inconvenience. The same way that I don't demand system-wide changes because of something that offends me. Right? Like, if the state is serious about deporting illegal aliens, people need to be able to fucking do it. Right? This is the same thing, like, laws that state that police officers are not allowed to exceed the speed limit in pursuit of a suspect.
That's
right?
Dumb. Yeah.
That's bullshit. That is fucking bullshit. The number of murderers that get away from the police because of that rule far exceeds the number of innocent people who get killed in car accidents because of it.
True.
Like,
but I have no idea how you're trying to relate this to the issue at hand. If the bill contains a provision, creates a new misdemeanor crime for failing to carry alien or registration documents, and allows officers to arrest immigrants unable to show documents proving their legal residence. That means they can stop you anytime they want and ask to see your papers, and even if you are a legal citizen,
it means
for not
that it
carrying
is against
that
the
document,
law.
You
if you are not
jail.
A citizen, to not carry the paperwork that proves that you are following the fucking laws that already exist.
But it also says that if you are a citizen and you don't have your document proving your legal residence, then you get hassled. This is a
you
bad
get hassled,
thing.
You're
this
not guilty
a,
of a crime.
This is
you don't
a,
go to jail.
Allowing officers to arrest immigrants unable to show documents proving their legal residence. That is fucked up. That I'm amazed that you can't see that. That, you know, the next governor who decides.
Listen, I'm not
that
saying that. I'm not. I don't even know if I believe that. And, you know, in fact, I don't think that it is a good idea to. Like, I think that if we were serious about cracking down on illegal immigrant labor in Arizona, that we would spend a lot of resources ruining our economy. Right, I think that's what would happen. But what I don't think is that, like, we should say, oh, yeah, you know, this shit is against the law, but, you know, we're actually powerless to enforce it, so we're just going to ignore it. Either do it, or, like, it's
no,
a, like a shit or get off the pot kind of thing,
find
right?
a point on
like,
that continuum that stops short of randomly being hassled and asked to see your papers, because that is seriously, you know, like I said, in England, I was never stopped and asked to produce my papers just randomly on the street. In Russia, I was, by a cop wielding an AK-47. And that was fucking scary, and that is not what we want our country to turn into.
Okay.
And we're letting the people who are writing these laws are the fucking Minutemen vigilantes who drive around with guns strapped to them looking for people crossing the border. It's ridiculous. If we want to solve the immigration problem, work on the demand side of it, not the supply side, because on the demand side are a bunch of people with a bunch of fucking money who want to save it by hiring cheap labor, and on the supply side are fucking people who are getting hassled and shot.
Right, right. So people who are somehow better because they don't have money? People who are, you know, somehow, like more noble and more being taken advantage of? Like, I don't know, man. Like, really, one thing that you could say is on one side of that are the, you know, the people with money who want their lawn to be mowed, and on the other side are criminals, people who are breaking laws.
It is
maybe they're stealing bread to feed their families.
It is equally a criminal act to hire somebody to mow your lawn when you know that they're an illegal. Why not go after those people? Because they have a recourse.
Okay, do you think, Mr. Skullhead, that I should go to jail for hiring illegal immigrants? Because that's what happened to our first landscaper at the office. He got shut down for hiring day laborers. I wasn't paying them, I was paying him. I was writing him a check to his
that
legitimate
is what I'm
registered
about.
American business.
They should
right?
go after him, not you. That is what I'm talking about.
Okay, so they should go after him and not me.
Companies
but
that knowingly hire illegal immigrants to save money. They are as much a criminal as the guy who slips over the border to try and feed his wife and kids. And I would argue more so. Because they could just hire American citizens and pay them more, but they don't. The dude who slips across the border to try and feed his kids.
I mean, first of all, they probably couldn't, and that's the problem, right? Like, that's why it's sort of an insoluble problem. Like, because they would go under. They would have to charge twice as much, and, you know, they would have to charge the customers twice as much, and the customers would just go with the least ethical dude, right? It's like the democracy problem where you're just going to elect the best liar.
You got to learn some more about this law until it scares you, because it ought to scare you. This is not some bullshit liberal outrage thing.
Yeah.
It's an assault on the Constitution, and I wonder why the people who are so upset about assaults on the Constitution aren't tuned into that. Probably because it involves brown folk. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think...
I know, I'm not saying you personally.
Part of my reasoning is that it involves dedicating taxpayer resources to people who don't pay taxes. Right?
But like, it's not. It's giving the police the burden of running around chasing illegals. Maybe they find them, maybe they don't. Maybe they just hassle a bunch of dudes who look Mexican. That's a pretty shitty use of the police's time.
If we're going to do something about it, we should do something about it.
Yeah,
and
but not fucking this. But not this. This is a bad law. Democrats think it's a bad law. Republicans think it's a bad law. Jude Law thinks it's a bad law.
Hey Jude. Does Hey Jude think it's a bad law? What about Jonathan Davis or Jonathan Rhys Davis Myers? Mike Jonathan Rhys Davis Myers.
I think,
I hate you, Mr. Liberal Head.
All right, Mr. Fashjik.
You call me that because I'm so fashionable.
It's true. You're a fascist and nable.
All right. Good show. Good radio show.
Good fight. Good night.